From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up last night, Judge Brett Kavanaugh became Justice Brett Kavanaugh as he took the judicial oath of office at the White House at a ceremony hosted by the president. I was honored to be there, and I actually had an opportunity to visit with the president. I'll talk more about that later. But first, one of the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, joins us in just a moment with his take on the Democrat-dominated circus the nation just witnessed. We'll also discuss today's announcement by, surprise announcement, I should say, by Nikki Haley, that she is stepping down as ambassador to the UN. I was actually with her on Friday and talked to her, and this comes as a surprise to most here in Washington, D.C. And the Attorney General of my home state of Louisiana, my good friend Jeff Landry, prevailed in defending an act by the legislature, Act 620, which enhanced the Abortion Clinic Regulation Act, which I first authored nearly 20 years ago. The state solicitor general, Liz Merle, joins me with the latest on that success. Also, parents in Blount County, Alabama, are speaking up about the silencing of pregame prayers at high school sporting events, including football games. And this comes after a threat from the, yes, you guessed it, the infamous Freedom From Religion Foundation. One of those parents, Greg Armstrong, joins us a little later in the program with what that community is doing to push back. And we're going to Kansas City. We'll catch up with the FRC Action Values Bus. It's the tour. It's making its way across the country. It's in about a dozen different states. It'll be in Texas. It'll be in Ohio. It'll be in Missouri. It'll be in South Dakota. It'll be in North Dakota. It'll be everywhere. Could be coming to a city near you. Check it out, valuesbustour.com. Also, check out tonyperkins.com. All right, President Trump last night apologized to Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and his family for the Democrats' smear campaign that took place over the last few weeks. Capping a week of victories for the president, he swore in, or actually oversaw, Anthony Kennedy actually swore in, administered the oath of office to Brett Kavanaugh in a packed room at a ceremony at the East Room at the White House. Joining me now is Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee that helped steer this confirmation through the process. Ted, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not in an airport. I know last time we were trying to connect you, you were encountering TSA.
I was, although I just came from an airport, but thankfully we scheduled this after I landed and made it through.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, let me first get your thoughts. I got a clip. It's a very short clip from the president last night as he apologized. This is about a 30-second clip. I want you to hear this, and I want to get your thoughts on this process that we just witnessed in the last few weeks.
On behalf of our nation, I want to apologize to Brett and the entire Kavanaugh family for the terrible pain and suffering you have been forced to endure. Those who step forward to serve our country deserve a fair and dignified evaluation, not a campaign of political and personal destruction based on lies and deception. What happened to the Kavanaugh family violates every notion of fairness, decency, and due process.
Ted, were you surprised by the viciousness of the attacks that were leveled at Brett Kavanaugh?
I have to say it was. I think we all expected this Supreme Court nomination to be a battle, and indeed I'd use the word Armageddon, because obviously Justice Kennedy has been the swing vote on the court for over three decades, and so the stakes are enormously high. And so I expected the Democrats to go all out. The theatrics we saw at the initial hearing for Judge Kavanaugh, although that was completely over the top, none of that was surprising. But that being said, the way the Democrats the last couple of weeks just went into the gutter, smearing Judge Kavanaugh, smearing his family, it exceeded even the worst that I feared they would do. And I think it was really a sad and sorry time for the United States Senate. It was a new low. But it ended with the right results and a very good day for America, which is Judge Kavanaugh being sworn in as Justice Kennedy.
Well, I want to go back to your statement about Armageddon, because I think you're absolutely right. And I think maybe people miss the significance of this shift in the court now, because Anthony Kennedy 50% of the time was with the conservative wing of the part of the court, 50% with the liberal. But he didn't have a consistent judicial philosophy that we now see coming into the majority on the court. This goes back probably six decades or more. And you're a constitutional scholar, attorney that focuses on constitutional law. This goes back to the, you know, where we see the activist courts in the 40s, 50s really taking root in the 60s and 70s. So this is a significant shift of the court returning back to its constitutional boundaries, which has the left, I mean, literally going berserk.
Well, it does, because the left has for decades now looked to the court to impose their own left-wing policy agenda that they can't actually convince their fellow citizens to adopt. As you and I both know, and as your listeners know, there's a right way and a wrong way to advance a policy agenda. If you want to change the laws in our country, the right way to do it is convince your fellow citizens, convince the elected legislatures to pass new laws. That's the way our Constitution works. But the left a long time ago gave up on trying to persuade people. Instead, they've decided to just try to use brute power. And over again in the last few decades, the Supreme Court has been a principal instrument of that brute power. And with Justice Kennedy for more than 30 years has been the pivotal deciding vote over and over and over again, replacing Justice Kennedy with a judge who I hope time will demonstrate will prove to be a principled constitutionalist. That has the potential to be a seismic shift in the court.
Well, and I was watching last night as I was in the White House. There are some other members of the court that, well, I think there could be other vacancies in the tenure of this president.
Sure.
And that goes to the issue of elections. Elections matter. Elections have consequences, not just for the president, but for the Senate, for the House. And this midterm election is a critical election, because we saw it play out last night. This is what people were looking for in 2016. It's unfolding. We're now seeing this shift. And I agree with you. Time will tell. But everything indicates we're moving in the right direction when it comes to the courts. But there could be another vacancy, and that, I believe, will be World War III. And the president has to have a House and especially a Senate that he can work with.
Unquestionably. In 2016, the courts, and especially the Supreme Court, were front and center, a major, major issue before the American people. I believe if Justice Scalia had not passed away in 2016, the odds are quite significant that Hillary Clinton would be the president today instead of Donald Trump, because millions of Americans, including, I suspect, both you and me, a major reason we came out and voted for the president was precisely because of the courts and returning the court to a constitutionalist foundation.
No question.
American people had that choice in front of them. In 2016, Hillary Clinton promised to appoint liberal activist judges. Donald Trump promised to appoint principled constitutionalists. And the American people said, we want judges faithful to the Constitution who will uphold our fundamental rights, uphold our religious liberty, our free speech, our Second Amendment, uphold the Tenth Amendment. And that was the mandate, a major mandate from the election. Now, this 2018 midterms elections, the Democrats, the rage we're seeing on the far left is ultimately a rage directed at the American people, that the left is angry that the American people elected Donald Trump as president, elected majorities, Republican majorities to Congress. And that rage that we saw screaming and chanting and beating on the doors of the Supreme Court, that rage is what we're facing at the ballot box in 2018. And so if we want to defend our fundamental liberties, if we want to defend these incredibly hard-fought victories, we have got to make sure that conservatives across this country show up in November and bring everybody else, because we know the hard left is showing up, and they are bringing every leftist in the country is going to crawl over broken glass to vote. And we could see every one of the victories of the last 2 years stripped away and D.C. descending into impeachment chaos. And let's be clear, my opponent in Texas, Beto O'Rourke, has promised to vote to impeach Donald Trump. Not only that, the Democrats are saying if they take the House, they may well begin impeachment proceedings on Brett Kavanaugh. That's the rage. That's the anger that we're seeing from them. It is dangerous, and the only answer is for conservatives to rise up and defend our nation.
You mentioned in the hallways, in the doors of the Supreme Court, where they were literally clawing at the door, but it spilled over into restaurants. I mean, you yourself, you've experienced this mob mentality, just trying to go out to dinner with Heidi, with your wife. And I think we're in a new era where they are so enraged that they want to intimidate and silence conservatives. And I don't think the time was ever more critical. And it was more incumbent upon us to, you know, not I don't want to say push back, and I talked about this yesterday, not that we're ugly or we match them eye for eye, tooth for a tooth, but we have to stand firm, stand boldly, and be courageous and not allow them through mob tactics to take over the country.
Well, you're exactly right. We're seeing more and more the rage and fury and hatred on the extreme left, and it is spilling over in aggressive confrontations. You mentioned last week Heidi and I were having dinner in D.C. We were surrounded by angry, screaming leftists who kept yelling and yelling, basically shut down the restaurant. We had no choice but to leave. Now, I will tell you the happy story to that is after the police removed the protesters about 10, 15 minutes later, we took shelter in the back kitchen. And I asked Heidi, okay, you want to go somewhere else? What do you want to do? She said, no, I want to go here. I like this restaurant. It's our date night. So we turned around and went back to the same table we'd been at. We sat down and had dinner. So, but you are absolutely right, Tony, that the way to respond is not respond in kind. We should not respond with that same sort of hatred and anger, but rather we should be happy warriors. We mm-hmm. should respond telling the truth, defending our liberties. Look, what we're doing is working. It was last week it was announced we have the lowest unemployment since 1969. These policies are working. That's part of why the left is so angry. They're even more frustrated that we keep getting major victories one after the other. And I think the contrast, the American people don't want to see us bitter and angry and divided. And this rage from the left is frightening and understandably frightening to a lot of people. We need to respond by bringing people together and remembering who we are as Americans.
But by going silent, it won't resolve it. This is one of those things where, as Ronald Reagan used to say, you have peace through strength. This is a time for conservatives to show strength by standing together, supporting those who represent our values at the ballot box and every place else. Ted Cruz, amen. As always, great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, my friend. God bless.
All right, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, I'm telling you, we have to be focused like a laser. And it's just a part of our Christian citizenship. We have to stay involved. All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, we hear from the state of Louisiana defending pro-life laws. That's next. Don't go away.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Remember, take the pledge. The pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand. Pray for our nation. Vote your biblical values and stand unwavering for the truth. Go to PrayVoteStand.com, PrayVoteStand.com, or TonyPerkins.com, and take the pledge. Join thousands of others in taking that pledge. All right, my good friend Attorney General Jeff Landry of Louisiana and the Solicitor General Liz Merle have successfully defended Act 620. Now, this is a bipartisan measure passed overwhelmingly by the Louisiana legislature back in 2014. It actually modified a bill that or a law that I passed, I guess, back in 2001, almost 20 years ago, which required abortion providers to be able to admit patients to a nearby hospital in the event of complications. It's essentially an Abortion Clinic Regulation Act that was modified. It was challenged in court, and they successfully argued before the district court, the appellate court, and now the law has been allowed to go into effect. Joining us now is the Solicitor General of the state of Louisiana, Liz Merle. Liz, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's been a long haul. This the litigation in this case started 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago now. So, you know, sometimes it just takes a while to get to the right answer.
Well, and this is kind of one of those educational moments as well for people, for our listeners, is that, you know, when we you get a bill introduced, You get enough votes to pass it. It goes, in this case, to the governor, and they sign it. And you think, all right, work's done. Actually, that's not even half the battle in most cases, because you had outside groups that came in and sued. There was a stay put on it, and you had to go all the way through the district court, the appellate court. I mean, this is a long process, and you've got to have somebody that would stick with it. And you guys have stuck with this to see it all the way through.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it does take, I think, a commitment to see it through with all of these regulations, because, you know, virtually every time the legislature acts in this particular space, those laws are challenged. And we have 5 pending cases on abortion legislation or other regulatory issues, actually 6 counting 1 in state court. So you'd really have to show a commitment to seeing it through to the end, because passing laws is just the beginning.
It is. I know that firsthand. Louisiana, one of, if not the most pro-life state in the nation. Now, give our listeners kind of the reasons this law was challenged. What it does, as I understand, it just has the admitting privileges. They have to have a hospital in such a certain distance from the abortion clinic so that if there's complications, a woman would go there. They challenged that. On what grounds?
Well, they challenged it on the same grounds that they've always challenged abortion regulations, and that is that it created an undue burden under Casey. During the course of this legislation, the whole Women's Health versus Hellerstedt decision came down, which also involved an admitting privileges law in Texas. And so a fair amount of our arguments at the Court of Appeal have been about what whole women's health means and what it did and whether it changed the law and changed the nature of the burden the burden analysis that is applied by a court when an abortion regulation is challenged. So this particular law was an admitting privileges case, as you correctly said. It required that a doctor who performs abortions have admitting privileges within 30 miles of the facility. We've always felt like that was a common sense regulation, and that in Louisiana, at least, unlike in Texas, ambulatory surgery centers were already required to have their doctors had to have admitting privileges if they were performing procedures in ASC. So that was a very big difference in our case from Texas.
Yeah, in fact, the legislation I authored was amending the ambulatory surgical regulations to include the abortion clinics. So the abortion clinics came under the same system of regulation as the other ambulatory centers, which made perfect sense. But they challenged that. That was first. In fact, it was first struck down. We went back past it again a second time, and it stood. Of course, there's things that need to be tweaked on these to ensure that women's health is upheld, even in these unhealthy situations, because we do not think abortion is health care. However, we have to make sure that an industry that's driven by profit doesn't neglect to take care of these basic aspects of health care. Now, let me ask you this, Liz. The court has now said this can go into effect. So what do we see will be the outcome here in the short term and long term?
Well, and I want to be clear that it's not all enforceable yet. So the Fifth Circuit issued an opinion, and then they have not yet issued the mandate in the case. And the mandate has to be issued before the law is actually enforced. The plaintiffs have already filed a petition for rehearing en banc. They filed it last Friday, late Friday afternoon. That suspends, at least for a short period of time, the mandate from being issued. So we're still in a little bit of limbo in terms of enforcing the law. We're waiting. We're going to have to wait for the Fifth Circuit to decide what to do on the en banc rehearing. But I am confident that the panel opinion is sound, and that at the end of the day, this was the right decision on this law, and that it's holding these plaintiffs to the right burden of proof when they're trying to declare one of our state laws unconstitutional.
And I'm certain that you and the Attorney General will not let go of this until it's finally put in place.
Absolutely. Attorney General Landry has been clear that he and this office are committed to enforcing our state's pro-life and pro-women laws to the end.
All right. Liz Merle, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks again for your work on this.
Thanks very much.
All right. See, you got to stick to it. Persistence. It's called standing. All right, coming up next, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They've sacked an Alabama school for praying before football games. But the community, well, they got their own blitz going. We'll talk with Greg Armstrong, one of the parents, when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come right after this.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. Take the pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand. PrayVoteStand.com. All right, I told you we're going to talk about Nikki Haley, that surprise announcement this morning, which in talking to my sources, no one but the president knew about it. I was actually with Nikki Haley over the weekend, in fact, interviewed her. But anyway, Michelle Bachmann, former congresswoman from Minnesota, is going to join us in the next segment. She was on the House Intel Committee and actually is at the UN now doing a, kind of a ministry there. She's going to be joining us next. But first, for decades, students have led a time of prayer before football games in Alabama and Blount County. And this group, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, that makes their living going around intimidating schools, has threatened this school. And so they have backed down. But parents are not going silent. With us now is Greg Armstrong. He's a concerned parent, also the parent of a Locust Fork student. He is also the Blount County Revenue Commission on there. Blount County, Alabama, grew up in the area as a minister of music at Locust Fork Baptist Church, does the play-by-play football broadcast, an elected official in the community since 1992. Greg, it sounds like it would be an understatement to say you are a major stakeholder in the community.
Well, I would think so. It's a great county, and we live in a great state, and I certainly try to do my part and love being involved in our community.
Well, let me first, before I ask you to tell our listeners exactly what's happening there, let me just say thank you for standing up. I pray to God that more Christians would stand up and defend our faith, but also defend the freedoms that so many men and women have sacrificed so much to both gain for us and protect for us. So thank you, Greg, for taking a stand there in that community. Now,
well,
tell
I
our listeners.
I appreciate you saying that.
Well, I mean,
I'm
looking.
Brother. I'm with you.
Tell folks what's happening.
Well, basically what has happened is you had, as you said, the Freedom From Religion group has come in and filed a complaint and all with our local school board. And we have a great school board. I served on that school board for 20 years was elected to that before I became revenue commissioner. And we have great people, godly people on that group. But what happens with local school boards is you're limited in your funding. And so when you begin to fight a lot of these battles, it sucks dry dollars out of the classroom, and it's very hard. But this particular group came in, and they filed this complaint. Our school board, with the advisement of their lawyers and the Alabama Association of School Boards, instructed them that they wouldn't have any help along the way to fight this. So reluctantly, they said it would have to stop it on the PA, but they made a very good push and said that does not mean that you cannot pray aloud. And what we did when we found out, I set up a meeting with our superintendent of education and our local pastors in our area here at Locust Fork. And we met, and it was a very, very spiritually led meeting, it was a very emotional meeting, to be honest with you, because, you know, you just said you was thanking me for standing up. I just feel like that's what we have to do as Christians. When you think about what the Lord did for us, the least we can do for him is to take a stand for all he's done for us. And our motive behind this, it's not a vigilante group. We're not mm-hmm. trying to be out here as a bunch of haters. We're here to do this in love, because the one thing you cannot do is you cannot take Jesus out of our hearts, and you cannot take Jesus and prayer from our lives. You may can take the mic away, but you cannot take prayer away. So we got organized, and we had an effort. We thought, we're not going to let this die. We're going to have the Lord's Prayer, get everybody in unison. All our churches went in together, bought 1,000 T-shirts. It had We Believe on the front and had the Lord's Prayer on the back. We gave them out. We were going to give them out at 5:30. And do you realize those before 5:30 ever got here, at 5:10 they were gone. And the first game when we first did this, it was just full of those shirts. And I'll just be as honest with you as I can. You can take a bullhorn in there, whatever that owns, it's owned by you, but you cannot use that mic. And when we started that prayer, it was so moving to me, I almost couldn't get through the prayer when I heard the echo of the thousands of people that was reciting the Lord's Prayer. So what was a terrible thing that the Freedoms from Religion group wanted to take place became a great thing in my eyes, because it unified our communities, and they took a stand. And not just Locust Fork, but all over this county has their own colored shirts, and they wear them to the games and say that prayer. And it's awesome. It's awesome. I'll just be honest with you.
Well, and it's a good thing you got on the back, in case anybody forgot the words. They can just look at the the T-shirt in front of it. It's like a walking hymnal.
That's right. Praise the Lord. But it's, you know, it's very frustrating to me as a parent. My child has led the prayer on the microphone. It's frustrating that we allow these groups who are so, in my opinion, the minority, but they speak loudly. And we, as what you're doing and what we're trying to do, we got to stand up for what's right.
Greg, we're going to check back in with you and see how this is going halfway through the season, but I want to thank you again for standing up. We're up against a break, got to go. But Greg Armstrong, again, thank you, and the pastors of that community for standing up. All right, folks, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch. Going to check in with the FRC Action Values Bus next. Don't go away.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can take the pledge and go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, or go straight to PrayVoteStand.com. Folks, if just in the interviews we've had today so far, we had Ted Cruz on talking about the Supreme Court, the election coming up, how that's going to influence things. And Greg Armstrong, who was just talking about us in Alabama, how the Freedom From Religion Foundation targeting these small school districts. By the way, we're going to put him in touch with some of our legal friends to see if they might be able to provide representation to that school board. But, man, God bless them for standing up, you know, buying those T-shirts. It reminds me of our pastor, Jack Hibb, one of my best friends out in California. Something similar happened to them, and they were told they couldn't pray in Jesus' name, so they bought 5,000 T-shirts and say, "We pray in Jesus' name," and they've literally taken over the city. Folks, you can make a difference. Pray, vote, stand. It covers everything, really. It really does. All right, we're going to be getting an update here shortly from the FRC Action Values Bus, which is touring across the country. They're in Kansas today. In fact, they got an event coming up in just a little bit tonight. I want to let you know about that. But they're in a bad sell area, so I don't have them just yet. So when I get them, I'm going to bring them in. But first, breaking news this morning, earlier today, that Nikki Haley, ambassador to the United Nations, announced that she would be leaving at the end of the year. Now, I actually was with her on Friday, interviewed her at another event that I was presiding over. Great things to say about the administration, and of course, kind of give us an insight into what's been happening at the United Nations. This is a critical role, and she's done a great job. This administration has literally put America first in its foreign policy, and it started at the United Nations and how they've represented America, and it's refreshing. Well, joining me now is someone else who knows quite a bit about this, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota, who's actually been working at the United Nations and kind of a nonprofit ministry aspect, but knows a lot about foreign policy. She was a part of the House Intel Committee, a member of that committee when she was in the House, and she joins us now by phone. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Tony. Great to be on your show.
Everyone was surprised by the announcement that Nikki Haley was going to be stepping down. In fact, talking to my sources, the only person who knew prior to this morning was the president. Even the Secretary of State was not aware that she was going to be resigning. She's done, I think, a really good job of representing America's values at the United Nations. She's been tough like the president. She's been pro-Israel. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. You're exactly right. Nikki Haley has done a first-class job at the United Nations, not only as she represented the United States and President Trump very superbly. She's changed the dynamic at the United Nations in many ways. In particular, as she had an open mind, open eyes, open heart, and she saw firsthand the irrational Israel bashing that was continually happening. And she called out other nations on this. She called out UNESCO, which is the United Nations Cultural Society, on this. She also called out the Human Rights Council for their egregious decisions, violators standing in judgment at people who are actually implementing good human rights legislation. And so what we have seen is nothing short of astonishing. It is a complete disruption at the UN in a good way, in that Nikki Haley has stood up as a proxy for President Donald Trump. The United States has actually exited UNESCO over their terrible policy regarding Israel and Jerusalem, and we've taken our money with us. We have exited the UN Human Rights Council in a very public way, and also the United States has pulled money away from the very highly controversial and dubious Palestinian refugee program, in addition to money that has been pulled from the Palestinians, because quite frankly, as you know, Tony, all too well, the Palestinians have been paying their own people once they kill Jews, and they pay their families, mm-hmm. and they continue to reward people for bad behavior. That's what's changed at the UN. No longer are nations and individuals being rewarded for bad behavior, and Nikki Haley deserves a lion's share of the praise for those policies which emanate from our president, Donald Trump.
I mean, the last time we had somebody that was, we've had some good people at the United Nations.
We had John Bolton,
yeah.
who was excellent. We had Jean Kirkpatrick, excellent, excellent people as heads of the UN.
Now, John was not confirmed by the Senate, so he had to step down after his time there. But the reality is, it's a bad neighborhood to go into anyway. I mean, the United Nations is it's just been a bad place. The outcomes have been bad. But this administration is actually working to get some good outcomes.
It is, and Tony, it's gotten some absolutely excellent outcomes. The largest voting bloc at the United Nations is an organization called the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperative. Just recently, they passed legislation that called on all countries of the world to criminalize speech that is against Islam and only Islam. This is the kind of thinking that goes on at the UN. And that is not being rewarded anymore at the UN. And again, Nikki Haley is a big reason. A friend of mine at the UN is Israeli Ambassador Danny Danon. Danny Danon absolutely adores working with Nikki Haley, the United States ambassador. It's a very different day. Israel, as your listeners know, has been under nearly constant attack from the UN by nations at the UN since 1949, and really since 1947. And so I think this will be a huge loss when Nikki Haley leaves the UN.
So let me ask you this, Michelle Bachmann. What does the president need to be looking for in a replacement for Nikki Haley?
I think someone with a very similar profile. Now, it's interesting. Nikki Haley did not have a background in foreign policy. She didn't have a strong background in dealing with Israeli issues. However, she was extremely bright. She had an open mind, and she was enormously hardworking. And so she hit the ground running, she did her work, and she brought to the UN the same mindset that the president has. That's an America-first mindset. The president's speech at the UN, for instance, in late September was
a brilliant rendition, exactly the type of foreign policy that Americans would want to see, which is he encouraged all countries to look out for their own nations first and their own sovereignty, and, of course, working together to deal with issues that intersect nations, but never, ever to forget the sovereignty of the individual nation. That was a very wise speech that he gave, and Nikki Haley has carried that out. I think the president will look for someone who will continue her legacy at the UN and continue his pro-America policies at the UN, because the president was, again, very clear. He said, we are not a part of the International Criminal Court. We will not be a part of the International Criminal Court, because he sees the dangerous penetration into U.S. sovereignty and the dangerous nature that that would have for the United States. So the president will look for someone who is like-minded that will carry out his policy priorities.
Well, you know what? I think you'd make a great ambassador to the United Nations. You've got the tenacity, you've got the insight, the understanding, the intellect, and the experience. I think you'd make a great ambassador. I'll put that before the president.
Okay. Well, we'll pray about that. Thank you, Tony.
All right, Michelle. Thanks so much for joining us today. Michelle Bachmann, former congresswoman from Minnesota, and I actually do think she would make a great ambassador to the United Nations. She's been up there. She knows the layout. She's been working there for the last 6 months, and I don't think there's anybody that's more pro-America than she is. All right, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, we have actually we have two buses going across the country. The Values bus, we got one just in California. It was at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills this past weekend with the gubernatorial candidate, John Cox, was there and actually signed the bus to take the pledge to pray, to vote, to stand. One of our buses, which I was on just Sunday in North Carolina and Tennessee, and I'll be on in Ohio in a week and a half, is in Kansas. And joining us now from the bus is our bus captain, Krista Johnson. Krista, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Good to be with you.
So our bus captain, you like that title, bus captain?
Yeah, I don't know about that. We've got another bus driver. He's more of a bus captain than I am, so we'll go with that.
All right. Well, all right. Where are you, and what's going on?
So we're in Kansas City, Missouri right now. We just traveled from Tennessee, had a great event yesterday in Nashville, just outside of Nashville, Murfreesboro at World Outreach Church. We are currently sitting in Kansas City getting a couple of maintenance items done on the bus. That's not anything glamorous right now, but tonight we've got a rally with Dan Stacey at the Jackson County GOP headquarters in Blue Springs, Missouri.
Yeah, what time is that?
That event is at 6:30 p.m. tonight, and then after that we're going to be rolling up to Montana to get up there for a few events later this week.
Big sky country. So how can folks keep right. up with where Krista and the bus is? Like, where's Waldo?
Well, yeah, we can definitely make sure everybody stays informed. The website for the Values Bus is valuesbustour.com. And all of our tour dates, including the California bus stops, are all listed on that website. So they can click join the movement or join the tour. And when they pull up that page, you can see every single stop that we have, all the details. They can RSVP to check in and download the flyer to invite their friends, family, and coworkers and other people within their churches and communities to come out for the stop.
And one of the things they can do at the stop is they can actually sign the bus to take the pledge. So there's the bus is already filling up with signatures of people who have signed their name to the bus. We provide the markers, no spray paint, yeah. Nothing like that. We provide the markers, and they sign their name to take the pledge, to pray, to vote, and stand.
That's right. We've got tons of signatures from all across the country. The California bus actually had to put on a whole new panel to their wrap for the bus because they had so many signatures from the other evening. So we've got signatures from across the country of Christian voters that are willing to take the pledge to pray, vote, and stand for the sake of America.
And there's a lot of materials available, too, at these bus stops. You've got voter guides. These are nonpartisan voter guides that just kind of show where the candidates stand on the issues, other resources that people can get. In fact, they can buy T-shirts, magnets that say pray, vote, and stand so they can take the message back to their neighborhoods and their communities.
That's right. We've got lots of materials on the bus. We can actually, anyone can access all of those materials online as well, frcaction.org/vote. So if you go to that website, frcaction.org/vote, that's got all sorts of materials, voter guides. People can actually take the pledge on that website. If they're not at a bus stop, they can take the pledge from the website to pledge to pray, vote, and stand for the election on November 6th. So we've got voter registration information up there, as well as the platform comparison that is bipartisan. So it gives you very clear direction on what each party and what that platform stands for. Several examples on why elections matter and several other resources. So we have all those at the bus for all the stops as well as on that website.
All right, Krista, before I let you go, and you've been on the bus now for, well, since the Values Voters Summit, so a couple of weeks now on the bus. What's been the highlight so far, beside the fact when I was on the bus this past Sunday? What was the highlight?
So we've had several events already on the bus. I think so far, Stanley Country Fest is one of the best events that we've had. There were thousands of people at that event, and we were able to get out over 1,100 voter guides. So that was a very big event, had a lot of positive interaction with people at that Country Fest in Stanley, North Carolina. And I think overall, just the enthusiasm that we've seen from voters across the country, we've had people stop us in parking lots just to thank us for the work that we're doing and also ask us if they could also sign the bus just in the parking lot. So we had a couple of people come up to us in a parking lot last night when we were getting some groceries, and they came out and wanted to sign the bus. So we let them do that. One actual spiritual highlight that came out of the tour is we were headed to dinner, and we had a gentleman stop us on the way into the restaurant, and he asked us where he could get one of our shirts that said pray, vote, and stand, and ultimately we were able to pray with him. He is in the midst of really struggling to determine if Christianity is for him, and so we were able to pray with him, and we're praying that that ultimately he accepts Christ and is able to really truly stand for those values, pray, vote, and stand for the issues that we believe in. So even spiritual things coming out of this tour, and we're really excited to be able to continue across the country and see more examples of that.
I would expect nothing less. When we stand for truth, it has an effect, a transformational effect upon people's hearts and lives. It's the FRC Bus
Absolutely.
Ministry. So, Krista, thanks so much. In fact, speaking of festivals, I'm going to connect with you next at the Pumpkin Festival up in Ohio. So we'll connect with you more next week to talk about that. Krista, thanks so much for joining us.
That's
all right,
good.
Folks, find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, or go to the ValuesBusTour.com and find out where they are and how you can join up with them. Out of time. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul when he says, you've done everything you can do when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand. By all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.